episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only, the legend himself, Eric Holmes. In today's episode, a super strong, streetwise superhero who fights intergalactic villains, battles a somewhat backward being of immense power, who is as unpredictable as he is insanely powerful. In one corner stands Bizarro, Superman's imperfect doppelganger, chalk-white, backward-speaking clone, whose childlike innocence twists into chaotic villainy. And in the other corner, you have the Thing, the gravel voice, orange rock powerhouse of the Fantastic Four, a Brooklyn brawler trapped in a monstrous body, but with a heart of gold. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And yeah, this matchup has been debated, discussed for many years, but it's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment, which is a thing, by the way, until today, that is. Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Yeah, our battles are out of this world, literally.
Yeah.
Like, you tune in, wherever you might be tuning in from, which we love all those tuning inners, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but our battles literally are out of this world, and the matchups, it just, some ridiculous.
Sure, sure.
But always necessary.
It's funny, these are necessary. Yes. These are necessary. And just when I go to like a very, like, you know, we've talked about this, I go to a serious dinner party and everyone's talking about, you know, weird stuff like the environment or the economy or the environment, the how it affects
shutdown.
The economy. Yeah, the government
whatever
shutdown.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is, I don't know.
That's important.
Yeah, that's a thing.
No, if you're affected by it, it's just, we're talking nerd culture stuff.
By the way, to pull the curtain back, just to let everyone know, okay, we support everyone and think everyone should be back to work. And you're all very valuable, and we love you very much. And boy, do we ever appreciate you and value. All right, thanks, Eric, from a sobering moment. Back to nerd culture.
Yes.
So here's the deal. These are matchups that surprisingly get a lot of traction when you talk to people who you wouldn't assume were into geek or nerd culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're all about, really, just bringing that conversation going. All right, speaking of bringing in stuff that you wouldn't assume was part of geek or nerd culture, it's time to kind of introduce our judge, who's been doing a great job lately and is now just really literally the only adult in the room. Sorry, Eric, I'm just saying what everyone's thinking.
Facts.
Yeah, honesty. It's true. It's the man who's, I guess, like Prince of Who Would Win. He's like the Prince of Who Would Win, also like Prince, because he's only got one name. It's the one, it's the only, it's our judge. It's Tadeo. Tadeo, welcome back to
Who Would Win. Yo. You know, Prince is a good analogy because he's got that great hair. Like, I kind of feel like we're hair bros. We might have the same DNA.
That purple rain, baby.
And listen to this. Prince is a baller. He's a basketball player. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Charlie Murphy was an athlete and a musician. So I see myself as kind of like a hybrid Prince. I'm kind of like the cool younger brother or son of Prince. I'm bringing those good vibes.
I've seen Prince in concert. I've never been in the actual same room as Prince. He was awesome, by the way.
I missed him,
but here's the deal.
I never saw that.
I think just like you and Prince, you guys might not be the tallest guys around.
Correct.
But you walk into the room like you're 7'5". You have presence.
I appreciate that. And you know, I personally love and adore a tall woman because I'm not intimidated. Because my presence, I think I should list it, 6'5", 6'6".
Absolutely.
Minimum. And just like Prince, he might be 7 feet. So I'm like his little brother.
That's fair.
So I appreciate you seeing that aura, that essence.
Listen, man, we miss and love you, Prince. Step into that purple light.
So listen, we got to get to today's episode.
Well, before we do,
what?
I heard there's some news on your part. Something's going on with you.
Maybe.
I don't know how I feel about it. You have an announcement?
You don't know how you feel. Okay. Really? I was going to say, okay, let's see how you really feel about it. I have a small announcement. You know, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but evidently, I'm your president of VetStream TV. That's right, Eric.
You're president of VetStream TV?
Yeah, listen, it's a interesting, small streaming platform that specializes in content for veterans, made by veterans. It's absolutely awesome. By the way, my short film, Alpha Initiative Zero, is available to watch on there. You can subscribe to VetStream TV. Just look it up. Look up Google VetStream TV.
We love our vets.
Sure do.
And listen, as president,
as my president,
as you're really,
so I am your king. Can I be like king of this?
Well, wait, who ranks higher, king or president?
Well, in the real lands, before the president came along, the king rules all, baby.
Wasn't
you
know
be as the queen? I'll be the queen.
Well, I'll be Prince.
Prince. Oh my God. I see what you did there. I came up to the same mathematical equation. No, here's the deal. I believe, listen, I'm born in Canada, but I became an American citizen. I had to take the test and learn about American history. George Washington was offered to be king of the United States, but he turned it down and said, no, I'll be a president instead. So with that being said, can we have a king and a president at the same time? Who's going to outrank who? I don't know. Stay tuned
for the next Who Will Win episode.
That's right. King versus president.
All right, well, congrats. Well,
thank you. And by the way, and all joking aside, it's going to be great. I'm actually going to do my best to put Who Would Win, the podcast, on VetStream TV.
And how can you find it, VetStream TV?
Well, you go to Google right now. There will be more details later, but just go to Google and look up VetStream TV. It'll pop up. Log in, subscribe, watch Alpha Initiative Zero, superhero movie done with some of the John Wick people. It's pretty
very
cool.
Very amazing.
Anyway, with all that being said, your president states that the king also agrees we should get to today's episode. But before we do, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, your president says each debater, I'm going to keep saying this. I'm sorry, Eric. I'm going to keep going. Your president says each debater will make 3 points. Your king, however, says that you got to keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. The prince, however, says the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, our very loud and vocal engineer, Jeremy, says it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Our citizens, both the people who live in our country and ruled by the king and overseen by the president, also say that the bottom line to Who Would Win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our opponents. Eric, please give us the details for Bizarro.
Absolutely. So, Bizarro, just to get started, this guy emerged from a botched experiment. Can you imagine emerging from a botched experiment?
I mean, that's how my parents explained me for years.
But right. But were you an experiment out of Superman's Fortress of Solitude?
That's what they called my dad.
Okay. Sorry. Well, Bizarro was next door then. So there you go. So that's where he came from. And also where a duplicating Ray intended to create a perfect copy instead birthed a flawed being driven by reverse logic. Bizarro, exiled after his initial rampage through Metropolis, he crashed and landed on a barren asteroid, like literally just botched experiment, landed on the asteroid, transforming it into a cube-shaped Bizarro world through sheer misguided creativity, where he reigns as a bumbling monarch.
That's what kings do sometimes, Eric.
Alongside his family of misfits out there, duplicates. His adventures often pull him back to Earth, where he's well-intentioned acts like saving cities by demolishing them lead to clashes with the Man of Steel himself, all while he grapples with an existential loneliness that makes him more tragic anti-hero than pure monster.
That is an interesting take on Bizarro, because one of my things is I don't think Bizarro is mindless or dumb. Like, this is, didn't he like make a really horrible looking rocket that could still
fly?
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's all right. Okay. All right. Well done, Eric. And here are the facts for the thing. Benjamin Ben Grimm was forged in the tough streets of Yancey Street, rising from a scrappy orphan to a star college quarterback and ace Air Force pilot, only to volunteer for his old pal Reed Richards' cosmic rocket test that forever altered his destiny. Cursed with an unyielding rocky high, thanks to the cosmic rays, Ben became the emotional core of the Fantastic Four, trading his dreams for normalcy for endless battles against world-ending threats, all while cracking wise with his sarcasm and while fiercely protecting his family like the loyal uncle he is at heart. But don't let his kindness fool you. The moment any innocent person or member of his Fantastic Four family is threatened, you can be sure of one thing. It's clobbering time. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Tadeo, do you have any questions before we get started?
Not a question, but a comment. So I did see the Fantastic Four, so I'm very familiar with the thing, just to give you... And in fairness, my mother had... I had a Bizarro comic... No, a book. Look at this. So you read it forward, it's Superman, and when you turned it over and read it backwards, it was Bizarro.
You see?
So that was a happy part of my childhood. So I'm very familiar. I'm not going to say he's getting an upper edge because my mother got me that book.
Calm down.
But I will try and be fair and impart fairness. But just so always. You know, that's a childhood memory.
Isn't that neat? That is so cool.
Is it?
Do you still have it?
I'm sure that my mother still has it. She still has my first time she cut my hair. So my mom really nostalgic.
Like that. Like a wig?
Like little curls. It's all these curls in a bag. I don't know. My mom, you know.
Well, I love that.
Now for sale in the Who Would Win store, Tadeo's hair.
And a bizarro comic book.
And a bizarro book. I think it's like a book, right?
It is a real book, awesome. Hardback, yeah.
That's awesome. You know what? There is no such book where you read it backwards and it's Superman. I think your mom was kind of screwing with you a little bit. Like my mom used to. I'm just putting that out there. I actually don't know how to read, so I'm not even going to make a comment about this. But I'm still your president, so there you go. All right, let's get this battle started.
Congrats.
Eric, thank you. Hit us with your point number one.
Yeah, so first I want to get into just literally his raw durability and pain tolerance, all right? This gets pretty real. So he literally has reverse Kryptonian might that defies logic, all right? So we know about the Man of Steel and everything. So Bizarro is literally Superman's power turned inside out, okay? Same strength, but twisted and unpredictable, all right? So with that being said, he can hurl skyscrapers like we all do, right? That's normal stuff. You've seen that. Like, you know, last night I was downtown. I got mad. I said, they put onions in my burger and they didn't grill them. I just threw that freaking U.S. bank building down to 405.
That was you?
Which is on the opposite side. So I threw it that far.
Wow.
110, no.
During traffic or not during traffic?
It was in rush hour, so made it worse.
It couldn't made it worse. Yeah, yeah, I think so. It probably made it better.
Just hurling skyscrapers, right? Yeah. Normal type stuff, right? He smashes bunkers, freezes oceans instead of melting steel. If you caught that, you caught that. Action Comics number 254, he literally saves a whole city by turning a flood into an ice field, all right? His opposite powers make him dangerously chaotic. Superman number 308, literally he throws flame breath. Don't know what he had for lunch, but that flame breath, that hot breath incinerates fighter jets midair. I met some people that got some pretty hot breath, but not like, maybe damn near some breath. I've smelled sometimes like, woo, that might be able to take out some jets. So Bizarro did it. Anyways, Kryptonite does not weaken him, by the way. So make a note of that. It powers him up, okay? He literally absorbs it, goes berserk, and shatters mountains while Superman crumbles beside him, all right? So he's insanely durable. He flies Mach 10. He can spot weak points with microscopic vision and literally generates from atomic dust, okay, under the blue sunlight. So all that, James, is my point number one.
All right, so interesting stuff. So you're saying Kryptonite, like green Kryptonite, doesn't weaken him and it empowers him.
Yes.
And also, if he has blue sunlight, he can, like, regenerate from whatever. Awesome stuff. You know what this fight doesn't involve, by the way, Judge Tadeo, is green Kryptonite or blue sunlight. That's nowhere in this. This is a random encounter, neutral location. Nothing is favoring either opponent. That's very
notes.
Cool that, that Bizarro has that cool stuff he can do. But that's not going to be coming into play in this. Other than that, I will give this to Eric. Bizarro is equal to Superman in terms of power in a lot of different ways. Instead of heat vision, he's got cold vision. Instead of cold breath, he's got fire breath. Just like many of the women Eric evidently dates on whatever that is. And that's not me for me to judge, but I'm kind of judging that right now, partially. All right, let me get to my point number one. From point number one, let's talk about the thing's power, right? He's known as the unbreakable, ever-loving, durable member of the Fantastic Four. It's crazy. So, you know, here's the thing. Bizarro's super strong. I get it. But the thing's kind of like this relentless engine of orange rock that, you know, doesn't just kind of fight by the rules. He makes his own rules in a fight. We're talking superhuman strength north of 100 tons baseline, which is cool. He used to be known as someone who could press 80 tons, but now it's way past 100 tons, which is Hulk class. So he's comparing very well to Bizarro in strength. He can scale the planetary threats when he digs deep, which means he can like do something that affects the planet with his strength. That's pretty cool. We saw him do something really cool. It was Fantastic Four number 102. He actually picked up 150 ton ocean liner. And just picked it up out of the ocean and just kind of walked it to the shore just to save some passengers. I think, you know, that's really cool. By the way, I think 150 ton passenger ocean liner is kind of small, but whatever. Still 150 tons. Yeah. Durability is where he really shines, though. He laughs off point blank tank shells. In Marvel 2-in-1 number 25, he takes a full barrage from the entire U.S. military without a scratch. We're not talking about like one branch of the military. Evidently, it's the entire U.S. military, Air Force, Navies, Marines, whatever, all come for him, and he just takes it, and he's that powerful, and he just, like, you know, tank everything. One part, he was, like, crumpling Abrams tanks into a beer can kind of thing, okay. And that just shows, that, like, what the thing's all about, a He likes beer cans. He's got stamina for days too. In Avengers number 226, he was wrestling and fighting the Hulk for 18 hours straight across this war-torn city. At least it looked like it. Neither one giving up. And let's be clear, most other heroes and characters in Marvel Comics are tapping out in under 5 minutes when they have to, you know, wrestle with the Hulk. It's kind of a thing. And finally, you know, under stress, not under blue sunlight or with green kryptonite, he can actually amp up. He can shrug off energy blasts that vaporize pretty much anything. In Secret Wars number 3, he took a direct hit from the Beyonder, who's like the power of a universe in the form of a person. He took a hit from the Beyonder's reality warping beam, right? Reality warping. And he kind of got back up. He was cracked a little bit. His orange rocks were cracked, but he took it. That just shows what kind of tough he has, as tough as he has. And then when this giant kaiju-sized Doombot came at him, he was like, you know what? For my encore, I'm taking that thing out. And he punched it and destroyed it. This is someone who doesn't need any of these other boosts other than his own emotional content to amp him up, and is someone who compares really well in terms of just sheer power and durability with Bizarro. That's my point number one.
Okay. So in a nutshell, it sounds like the thing is, he is tough, right? We can agree that he is tough. Okay. But, a big difference of the thing being tough, Bizarro literally thrives on what would kill him. Like I said, kryptonite blasts fuel him. Okay. Like we're talking a kryptonite blast fuels Bizarro. All right. So yeah, the thing, it's a tough thing. Got it. But we're talking kryptonite blasts is fuel him up. Mach 10 flight. Okay. Freeze flame vision. All right. And city level attacks are moves the thing can't dodge. Also, we did talk about the blue sun regeneration and microscopic vision, which do let Bizarro recover and strike instantly. And another thing what's interesting with Bizarro is he hits wrong, meaning he's unpredictable. So it's chaos. He has a methodical crushing strength. So he literally hits wrong, which is something that you cannot plan for. And then bottom line, durability alone, the thing, won't save him from Bizarro's inverse unstoppable power. That's my rebuttal.
I love that thing. Like the Bizarro just hits wrong. Like if for martial arts, if someone hits wrong, normally that's not like a cool thing. Like normally it's like, I hit so hard, I hit wrong.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's, we need to fix that. But that's, but to your point, Bizarro just does things that are very bizarre that shouldn't work. And yet somehow they do.
It's in a name.
It's right there. All right. Judge Tadeo, Prince of the Hood Wind Show.
Yes.
You've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
As president of VetStream TV.
Yes.
How are you representing the thing taking on the entire military? Like he's taking on your constituents. But anyways, I'll put that aside. I won't hold that against you because we're on a neutral base. But right now, I'm loving the fact I've got somebody who's emotional. Like the thing, he's like a big bro. You know, he has his nephew. You got that. And then you got Bizarro, who's kind of lost. He's kind of misunderstood. So I feel this is an emotional battle so far. So we've got two emotional beings, one being a little colder and one being a little oversensitive. So thus far, you know, Bizarro's ability to disconnect because he's misunderstood might be a little advantage because the thing gets emotional. I don't know if he can cry, but I do see him whining a lot.
You know, I think Bizarro gets emotional in reverse. And I'm not even kidding. Okay.
Really?
He told, I'll go into that in a little bit, but it's so weird to try to understand Bizarro, by the way. All right, you've heard it. That's what Judge Tadeo is saying so far. Let's see what's about to happen. Stay tuned for point number two.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
And we're back. Eric, hit us your point number two.
Yeah, so just continuing to, you know, highlight all of Bizarro's skills and attributes. I want to get into his fighting skills, okay? Or what I like to call unhinged backwards brilliance and primal mayhem. Here we go. Bizarro's a strategist, all right? He's a whirlwind of reverse instincts like we've been talking about. A berserker who turns chaos into a combat style, right? He fights like a demolition derby champion, which we all love a good demolition derby. If you haven't been in one, book that this weekend. You will not regret it, but definitely wear some fire retardant type, jackets, because it could get pretty hot in those things. Anyways, yes, it's like he fights in a demolition derby, if you know what I'm talking about. Smash first, think backward later. Pure chaos theory, unpredictable lunges, dim-witted genius, and power that breaks patterns, all right? Superman, Batman number 72, for all you true geeks and nerds out there, baby. He literally accidentally traps Batman. Accidentally. This is how he does another accident, you know. Hits wrong. By torching half of Gotham. So he just torched half of Gotham, accidentally traps Batman, then flips freeze vision to ice the Batmobile mid-chase, okay? He literally has ambushed the Justice League with the vacuum breath steals, Green Lantern's ring, then super speed clotheslines the whole team like dominoes. Then in a Marvel DC crossover, JLA Avengers number 3, he literally baits Thor by shouting, "Me am weak." Then lands a kryptonite charge uppercut that knocks Mjolnir loose and sends Thor flying. His brawling is sloppy but lethal, and like a little drunk toddler with godlike reflexes. So there's no mercy from Bizarro. There's no rhythm, no logic, just escalating absurdity that enemies can't predict. And all that, James, is my point number 2.
Okay, so this is really interesting because, you know, I like how Bizarro got that one shot on Thor. With that, if that fight had continued, what would have happened? I know in that same series, Superman did beat Thor in a prolonged battle. Mm-hmm. Would Bizarro be able to do it? I don't know, but it's an interesting shot. I can't take that away from him. But here's what I will say. In terms of unpredictability, you got to remember, the Thing is known. I mean, this is what he's known for, to fight the Hulk.
Yep.
Right? Who in Marvel Universe is more unpredictable at that power level than the Hulk? So I wouldn't say Bizarro's unpredictability is going to throw the Thing that much, because he's already had literally decades of fighting experience against the Hulk, as the Hulk goes absolutely insane with unpredictable moves and what have you at that power level, right? Interesting. As at least someone who can match Bizarro, possibly even exceed Bizarro. So other than that, I like where you're going with that point. But let me get to my point number 2, and let's talk about the Thing's fighting skills, because in my opinion, when it comes to that level of fighting skill, Thor's up there. It's kind of like a God of Thunder, also kind of like an unofficial god of war. The Thing is pretty much known for being one of the best badass superhuman fighters at that strength, upper strength class, okay, right? With skill and technique, whatever. So you gotta remember, let's talk about the blueprint of Ben Grimm. Like, you know, here's the thing. He was a Golden Gloves boxer, an accomplished wrestler, Air Force, you know, so he knew combatives from the military and what have you. And that was his starting point before he became superhuman. And since then, he's actually become even a better fighter, because he now knows how to use his powers, his durability, his strength as part of his fighting techniques. So before Secret Wars in the early, you know, mid-80s, there was this really cool Marvel crossover event. I think it was called Champions or something. This guy comes down, he's like an elder of the universe, whatever, big, huge blue skinned guy, and he's like, "I want to take on the best fighters of Earth." So he goes through him literally in a boxing ring. He's taking out, he won't take on Thor, because Thor's all about his weapon. He's like, no, I want to just fight people. Then it was Colossus and other characters, and he's beating everyone. So he gets to the Thing, and the fight keeps going, and it keeps going, and he's like, and the Thing's holding his own. And finally, the champion, even though he kind of has the upper hand, says, "You know what? I give up. I clearly can't beat you. You're never going to, unless you die, you're never going to give up." And that was the Thing keeping up with, at the time, one of the most powerful, possibly the most powerful physical being in the Marvel Universe. Things have changed since the early 80s, but that's what the Thing's all about. You know, this is someone who knows how to also use his environment in a really cool way. One time, and also he loves using pro wrestling moves. He was a pro wrestler for Superpower Beings for a short time. One time he was fighting the Hulk. The Hulk does a thunderclap. He pretends he's hurt by it. And then when the Hulk comes at him, he dodges the Hulk's blows, clotheslines him, and then Irish whips him into something. The Hulk bounces back and he clotheslines him again. It was just a really nonsensical awesomeness, WWE style. Awesome, but that's what he does, right? And if anyone's going to get WWE style awesome fought, it's going to be Bizarro. And his durability, this is something that's really cool. So Vision from Avengers, when he phases through people, he typically hurts them very badly as he phases through them, if he chooses to, right? He phases through the thing tanks it, and then knocks down the Vision and does the only thing the Thing could do logically. He puts him into a figure four leg lock. Okay, there he Ric Flaired Vision, who's one of the an insanely powerful being in Marvel comics. Yeah, when you can Ric Flair the Vision, I don't even know how that works. The thing's legs are like my size. Like I've got, I'm very heavy. Like I've got a huge ass quotient. I'm just gonna put that out there. I know it's a thing, Eric. You've seen it. Okay,
it's a thing. It's a thing.
That's right. And remember, you know, finally he's fought the Hulk. I calculated it. It's over 50 times. Okay. He's fought the Hulk. Okay. He's beaten the Hulk. Another time, he's actually boxing with the Hulk. The Hulk throws a wild haymaker, just bizarro style. The thing bobs and weaves and hits him with an insane liver shot. Looks like a lead uppercut to the right side of the body and drops the Hulk. And then he knocks out the Hulk as he's dropping. This is someone that uses that kind of technique against these unpredictable, insanely powerful beings and has a great win-loss record against it. If anyone can drop a rampaging, unpredictable being like Bizarro, it's going to be the thing because he's done it before. That's my point number two.
All right. Seems like you're really focused on this Hulk guy. Yes, the Hulk is
this Hulk guy.
Yeah. He's a strong fella. Okay. My main rebuttal is, in short, it comes down to fighting skills, okay, and unhinged brilliance, all right? So the thing does rely on technique, okay? Like you mentioned a lot of technique, okay, and environment, right? Literally, Bizarro ignores rules, okay? He makes all these patterns and technique and preparation useless, all right? Because there's no order with Bizarro, all right? Unpredictable chaos, like I said, the flame freeze vision, vacuum breath, kryptonite boost strikes keep the thing off balance easily. Bizarro will really literally rewrite the whole battlefield. He'll trick... we like using tricks like baiting Thor and toppling the Justice League, prove street smarts don't matter with Bizarro. He's sloppy but lethal in close quarters. No hook or submission. You're getting in all the submissions and things that the thing has done, but no hook or submission can literally touch a target that's moving like a glitch in reality, all right? So bottom line, predictable brawling and all that, it will literally lose to chaotic genius, all right? Bizarro always wins, and that's my rebuttal, James.
Interesting stuff, but we are at the turning point. Today, you've heard 2 points from both Eric and myself. Yes. Tell us who you think is ahead and what does the other side have to do to gain the victory?
Well, at this point, I mean, I'm liking... the training, the things training, the Air Force training, the boxing, and the Ric Flair WWE or whatever league Ric Flair was in, and fighting the Hulk is quite an impressive task. So it's an even-ish situation, but I might be leaning towards that Air Force training because those are the smart guys. Right, so that's what I've heard. So yeah, that's where we're sitting. But it's going to be an emotional battle, I can tell you. So I want to hear more.
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea where I'm going to go with this. I want to hear. As your president, I don't know. As your president, I'll figure something out. All right, you've heard 2 points, but let's see where this battle is going to go. Stay tuned for point number three, and we're back. Eric, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
All right, so for my point number three, I just want to make sure you guys know just a little bit of Bizarro's resume, okay? I want to get into his biggest wins, all right? Literally, like we said, backward victories and cosmic chaos, okay? So Bizarro's wins aren't just fights. They're rewrites of reality, proving chaos can conquer order, all right? So in Action Comics number 44, Bizarro World, okay? From cosmic dust, a cute planet ruled by his twisted logic, he literally defended it against alien invasions for decades, okay? He's also taken down Wonder Woman in a brutal one-on-one fight. He almost left her nearly unconscious before she barely managed to escape. Also, like we said, he evolves under the blue sun, cloning a whole army of little mini Bizarros that overwhelm Mongol's war world fleet, one imperfect clone creating a dynasty of destruction. And yes, Bizarro, here we go, has beaten Superman. Do not forget that. Also, bottom line, okay, Bizarro doesn't just win fights, he remakes worlds, proving backward brilliance can topple even gods. And all that, James, my point number three.
Okay, some good stuff there. I think the Wonder Woman fight is pretty good. But again, he caught her unawares, right? Like, it wasn't like a who would win situation where both combatants are facing off against each other, even though they don't know what the other side can do. But they're like, all right, we're fighting? Okay, great, let's go. That wasn't the situation in which he did what he did to Wonder Woman. By the way, Wonder Woman did get her revenge. I know that doesn't have a lot of bearing. I'm a huge fan of Wonder Woman. The other facts you mentioned, again, you mentioned like blue light, this green kryptonite powered that. You gotta remember, he's not gonna have access to either one. Although I can't deny he did beat Superman.
Correct.
And that is the big thing I got to figure out how to overcome. And Superman, when he fights Bizarro, Superman's not enraged. He sees Bizarro as kind of like, maybe not his brother, but like someone who's like not thinking properly. And Superman is a fighting style, unlike Supergirl, who goes in full blast, full power right away. He goes up gradually because he doesn't want to hurt his opponent. That's the cool thing about Superman, right? So he takes a few shots before he kind of comes in, and that puts him at risk for getting beat in these fights, right? And I think that's what happened there. The Thing's not like that at all, and that's the difference here. Plus, the Thing has something he's fighting for, right? And that's family, and I don't want to kind of go into this whole like Fast and Furious kind of thing. It's all about family, whatever, but it's the Thing. Now let me get to my point number three. For my point number three, I just want to talk about the Thing's biggest wins. Yeah, he's literally got like a trophy case stacked with really hard-fought wins. You know, solo stands against gods to the Fantastic Four, you know, that they're facing. He saved the Fantastic Four so many times. He's just someone who has to overcome the impossible. See, that's what the Fantastic Four is all about, is overcoming the impossible odds, and yet somehow they do, and that's a lot of it thanks to the Thing. First of all, he beat the Hulk again. This is one of my favorite ones in Fantastic Four number 25. Ben Grimm, the Thing, grapples the Hulk in a 12-round war atop the Brooklyn Bridge, another long extended battle, and then finally suplexes him into the East River to drown the Hulk's fury long enough for Reed Richards to come in, hit him with some blast, revert him back to Bruce Banner, whatever. It's still a win for the Thing. Again, suplexing the Hulk, you know, and beating him senseless. Awesome stuff. You can do that to the Hulk. I'm pretty sure you can do that to Bizarro. He had a really weird encounter with the Silver Surfer, who was considered like one of the most insanely powerful beings. And the Thing, I think it was in Fantastic Four number 57, and the Thing was like seeming like outmatched by the cosmic, the Silver Surfer and his cosmic power and all of that. And then Ben just dug deep, started smashing and punching the Silver Surfer, cracked the Surfer's armor or like plating that he has, did something horrible. I think cracked his surfboard, and then threw an insane haymaker and knocked out the Silver Surfer. Like, that's pretty insane strength. I don't believe that's ever happened before or what have you, unless you're like Galactus or what have you. Then there's this really cool part. It was a planet-busting pivot. It was in Secret Wars number 12. The Thing anchors the fault lines of the Beyonder's planet he created. I'm leaving out a lot of details, but he brought all these universes together. There's going to be these incursion events. The planet's about to break apart or do something. Something's about to horrible happen, and the Thing actually hits the fault lines and starts breaking the planet apart because he dug deep. That's the kind of power he has. On top of that, the best one, which is, I think, my favorite one, and this is really good, he actually wrestled the Juggernaut to a standstill in the Mighty Thor number 133. This is why it's important. So one of the most powerful versions of the Hulk, it was called like Worldbreaker Hulk. He comes back on this revenge mission because he was sent out in space by Reed Richards, Iron Man, all that kind of stuff. And he starts wrecking everyone in the Marvel Universe on planet Earth. And he faces off against the Juggernaut. And Worldbreaker Hulk couldn't actually stop the Juggernaut. All he could do was kind of like push him out of the route a little bit. So he kind of like kept going. Like, again, no one can stop the Juggernaut, except if you're the Thing, who actually just started fighting the Juggernaut, used sheer force and determination, and actually stopped the Juggernaut, which is insane. If you can actually stop the Juggernaut, who's known for being something you can't stop, that shows determination, that shows fighting skill, and that shows power. The difference between the Thing and Bizarro, if Bizarro gets hit hard enough times, he takes off. He doesn't have the same mindset when it comes to fighting as Superman does. He doesn't have that same determination. If he faces off against someone who's more powerful than him, which Superman often does, right, he falls apart and he takes off. Smart move. The Thing is like, if I fall, my family dies, or someone gets hurt, or innocent people die. I have to stand and take this, even if it means I'm going to lose. As long as I stop this person a little bit, that's all that matters. He is someone who will never give up and keep fighting until the job is done. When it comes down to this fight, it's not going to be about power. It's not going to be about who's stronger. It's going to be about motivation and who's more willing to take their stand and just fight. And that's the Thing. That's my point number three.
Well put. A lot of information there. Okay. Thank you. You definitely did represent the Thing, and I will say that he has very impressive feats, okay? Very impressive feats, absolutely. But my one thing that I want to just bring this home with, and then we will throw it to our judge, is Bizarro literally remakes reality, okay? He doesn't just fight, he rewrites the whole world, okay? Literally, he's built Bizarro world, okay? He's toppled Wonder Woman overwhelmed Mongol's fleet with many bizarros. These are all feats that things brute force can't match. And once again, like we said, he's beaten Superman, a benchmark the thing can never reach. Bizarro's chaos can't be figured out. Attempts to outsmart him fail because his hits and tactics will literally break every pattern. Bottom line, raw strength and fight IQ are impressive, which the thing has a lot of. But they don't beat world-altering chaos. Bizarro always stays one step ahead. And all that is my rebuttal for you, James.
You know, I gotta love this battle because you're bringing up some really, really good stuff about Bizarro. And these are like, my hat's actually off to you. As president, you know, saluting the king. The king is bringing, you know, amazing strategies, points, and aspects of Bizarro that are actually really specific to taking on the thing. That's what I'm also trying to do for the thing versus Bizarro. But none of that matters, Your Highness, because it's what the judge has to say. Tadeo, you've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and tell us who you think wins this battle between the thing and Bizarro.
This is, I really am enjoying this battle. On this episode of Who Would Win, I'm seeing this galactic strength in its insanity. I mean, Superman, the ultimate good. Now we have the polar opposite, the colossal king of evil versus Clobbering Time, Mr. Clobbering Time, who cares. He's a nurturing uncle and a human being who wants to save planet Earth. That's his motivation. So how I saw this battle unfolding on neutral territory, right, is the thing getting hyper and getting his Clobbering Time at 100 miles an hour, like lifting 100 tons. He picks up a building, throws it at Mr. Bizarro, and charges, right? Bizarro's kind of shocked by the speed of the thing and gets himself into a headlock. So Bizarro's in this headlock, right? But he's not going to submit because he doesn't understand emotions the same way that we do as humans. So Bizarro pretends to cry, and in that moment the thing is touched because he's whimpering like a baby. But in actuality, he's laughing, and as the thing lets up to, you know, gives him a moment to look and see, he takes his Mach 10 speed and pushes the thing into the air, and they fly up. And in that moment, when he detaches from the thing, who's got caught with his humanity and caring and heart, he freezes him with his breath, rather the exact opposite of Superman. And in that moment of freezing him, he freezes the ocean. It's not an ocean, it's a lake beneath. And he's able to allow and just this pulverizing blow with his breath, this horrendous breath, and freezes the thing into this submission. So for 2 minutes, the thing is frozen and rendered useless, and all his strength is lost. So his brute force costs him the fight, not because he's not as strong, but because of his heart. And in the end of this episode of Who Would Win, Bizarro wins by submitting the thing by freezing him with his chaos over order.
I gotta tell you.
Yeah!
Really, that's your king. Look at the composure of your king. Versus the
confused
coolness.
President.
No, I'm not confused.
The
here's
new
the deal.
President.
The new president's actually oddly okay with this. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you why. Because as we were breaking down this fight, the one big weakness the thing has against Bizarro, two weaknesses. Number one, flight. Bizarro can fly, and he can fly. Mach 10 is like nothing to him. He can fly speed of light, the whole thing. Like, the speed's going to be his thing, right? And that's a problem for the thing. You take the thing, put him up in the air, drop him. He's not changing direction mid-drop or whatever. Gravity's going to affect him. That's number one. But number two, just like it happened to Thor, who has a fight IQ that is beyond genius, he fell for Bizarro's weird psychology reverse stuff and got, you know, hit really hard. If that can happen to Thor, it can happen to the thing, but if you add flight into that and all of a sudden things caught unaware, whatever, could it take him more than 2 minutes to dig his way out of the bottom of a lake that's completely frozen? Yeah, it could, right? It absolutely could. Would he get out? Yes, he would. Would he lose again? I don't think so. I think a second fight, a third fight, I think the thing is going to have that fight IQ and be like, I'm not falling for that again.
Right.
But I think in the first one, if Thor could fall to Bizarro, yeah, I can see the thing falling
because
too.
We have to remember Bizarro caught Wonder Woman off guard.
Yeah.
So when you catch somebody off guard, and we're in this situation, the thing has never met a creature or an abomination, a creation such as Bizarro.
Well, imagine if the Hulk could fly. How would that have changed every fight with the Thing?
Exactly.
I'm actually okay with this because I can see the logic behind it. Eric did a great job with this, and I've got to, you know, listen, the president does what the president does, which is acknowledge when something good happens.
Good man. The king did it.
Eric, great job. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you feel right now with this great victory.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Everyone listening?
Yes.
We are.
Hail to the king, baby.
This is why, like, you have no one to rule over, by the way, because you do stuff like that. But no, so seriously, this was a great strategy. This was insanely well done on your part.
No, and thank you. And you really did the Thing justice for sure.
So, I sure did.
That's what I just said, little president guy. So with that being said, like, hell yeah, man. I just wanted to represent Bizarro correctly. Major victories that he has had, Bizarro. I wanted to do him justice and definitely represent him. And I am glad that our noble judge did his job and Bizarro came out on top.
The prince did his princely duties as the judge.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you have it, Legion of Audience. Another great episode of Who Would Win Today. Oh, we can't wait for the next episode. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You can find me all the time, anytime on Instagram at Cuerpaso. That's Cuerpaso. But it's originally in Spanish, but I wanted to give the English translation. Just so you can find me.
By the way, they're both good.
Yeah.
They're both good. You can't go wrong either way. All right, Eric, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on all my socials at Eric with the C Holmes. Let's connect.
Holmes.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Very necessary.
Just that letter L has thrown me quite a few times.
Yes.
All right. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabs. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, Tadeo, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, Jeremy, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.